tune out of the anti-white system and tune in to the pro-white system.
Welcome to the Daily Nationalist. Today's date is Wednesday, the 20th of May, 2026, and you're listening to me, Sven Longshanks, streaming at radioalbion.com. Well, today I want to take a look at the horrendous brainwashing that's going on of our young children, making them feel guilty, effectively, for being who they are. I mean, it's no wonder that we're not producing enough children to replace ourselves when we're constantly bombarded by propaganda telling us what terrible people we are and how we are responsible for all the world's problems. This article that I've got today comes from GB News, and the headline is "Primary School Children Told to Be Mindful of Their White Privilege Under Education Anti-Racism Drive." And of course, we heard about what was going on in Wales, how school teachers have been told that they are to report children to the police if they hear them using a racial slur. And if they haven't actually committed any crimes, then they should be punished anyway, is what we learned the other week. And I believe this is what's going on in England with the primary school children there. Primary school children are being told to be mindful of their white privilege under an anti-racism drive. A coalition of Sheffield schools has developed lesson plans teaching pupils as young as seven that white people benefit from inherent privilege because of their skin colour and have a responsibility to challenge racism. Well, I could probably do a whole podcast just on that subject, but I won't, because we want to get through this article today. But what they mean when they talk about inherent privilege, it's not a privilege. White people don't benefit from an inherent privilege. White people benefit from their ancestors. Their ancestors worked extremely hard. They scrimped, they saved, they worked together as a group, built an amazing civilization, went around the world, conquered the world, built civilizations wherever they went. And we are their descendants. We do not have all of this because we have our skin color is white. We have all of this because we have it within ourselves to work together as a group and build civilizations. That's the reason why we have this. Not because we're white, but because we're able to do these things. Because our ancestors did all these things. Because our ancestors, instead of thinking, I have the right to take this. I have the right to take this. This must be mine. I'll take this. Instead of thinking like that, they thought, I don't have any rights. All I have are duties. And my duty is to improve the world for my descendants in the same way that my ancestors improved the world for me. I mean, how could you look at things from the perspective of a child where everything is done for you, literally everything? And it's not just done by your parents. If it wasn't for the people before them, they wouldn't have chairs, they wouldn't have tables, they wouldn't have all the inventions that we use. It all comes from people that came here before us. And if you were to be a child and you were to look at that, where would you get this idea, oh, it's my right to take? You wouldn't. You would think well, it's my duty to be grateful for all of these things. And how do you show your gratitude? Well, you ensure that these things are still there for the next generation that come along, and you improve the situation for the next generation that come along. And it's because our ancestors thought like that that we have all of this today. It's got nothing to do with the fact that our skin colour is white, as if skin colour has anything to do with it. I mean, people on the left do like to try and reduce race to effectively just being to do with skin colour, but it's there are far more important differences between the races than simply skin colour. The ability to build a civilization, for one. Black Africans have never built a civilization. They never invented the wheel. Of course, the argument is, oh, yes, well, they never had any flat surfaces. Well, we had to build roads before we used wheels in Britain. And even Julius Caesar spoke about our horse-drawn chariots that we had 2,000 years ago. And in order to have horse-drawn chariots, you have to have roads for the chariots to ride upon. And yet they never had any of this in Africa. And it's not because their skin colour is black that they never had any of this. They never had any of this because they don't have that ability within them to build civilization. The abilities that they have are for doing other things other than building a civilization. And the second part of this, to say that they have a responsibility to challenge racism. Well, how is racism being defined here? I mean, if you hear somebody using offensive language, you might say you shouldn't really be using that sort of language in polite company. That isn't what they're referring to here. What they're referring to here is, instead of doing your best for your own people group, you need to be doing your best for this other people group. Instead, you need to be putting them first. And of course, if you put another people group first instead of your own people group, who is going to be looking out for your people group? This is the problem with all of this. When you try to explain that to black people, I mean, they understand that. But what they don't understand is this racism, because they think that they can't actually be racist. Because black people put black people first, they put their own people group first, and they would say that you'd be absolutely crazy for thinking that they should be putting white people first. But then if you say to them, well, that's effectively what racism is, isn't it? That means you're a racist. They won't understand that, because their understanding of it is that only white people can be racist, because they've been told that the reason why they don't have the same things that white people have is because white people have been oppressing them. And that's just not the truth. If you look at these statistics, if you look at the studies, if you look at history, it's just the way that they are. And you can look at IQ and you can say, well, black Africans have an average IQ of 70. White Europeans have an average IQ of 100. I mean, that's a huge difference. That's a 30-point difference. If you had a group of white people with an IQ of 70, I doubt whether they would be able to build a civilization either. The way that they lived would look very different to the rest of the white Europeans. So you can look at statistics and scientific studies to show these things, that it's got nothing to do with what colour somebody's skin is. It's got everything to do with what their ancestry is, who their ancestors are. I mean, you can even see this at a smaller level with families. I mean, if you have a musical family, for instance, the grandparents would have been musicians, the parents will be musicians, the children will be musicians. And we understand that because it's inherited. The musical ability is inherited. That's the same with a high IQ. A high IQ is inherited. And it's the same with the ability to build civilization. It's inherited. Not every group has it. Groups in the South America, they don't have it. Groups in Africa, they don't have it. Groups in southern India, they don't have it. Some other races do. The Chinese do. The Japanese do. But they're different again. They're a different people. They have a very, very low crime rate. They have a very, very strong herd instinct, whereas white people tend to be more individualist, which is one of the reasons why we have this liberal tradition, is because of our individualism, which works well when you have just a homogenous group. But when you import other ethnic groups into the same territory, then the individualism works against us. And I guess these are difficult topics to be discussing, complicated topics to be discussing with children. But they shouldn't be telling them this rubbish in the first place. I mean, this is political. It's completely political to be telling seven-year-olds that they have white privilege and that they have a responsibility to be challenging racism. In one lesson plan aimed at children aged 7 to 11, pupils are given designated time for empathy building. And it says, in Britain, white people are likely to be privileged by the colour of their skin. So it's nothing to do with their ancestors working and providing this for them. It's just simply because they happen to be white. And what they mean by empathy building is they will brainwash these children by telling them how oppressed black people are and how they're being oppressed by white people, to try and get the white children to be empathic towards the black children. And there's nothing wrong with having empathy for other people. We should have empathy for other people, but it shouldn't go to the extent where you end up putting another people group first before your own people group. Imagine if you're a child and your father was putting the family up the road and putting them first rather than putting you first. I mean, you'd end up starving. Your family would end up starving while the family up the road was having everything done for them. And you could say, well, why shouldn't he do these things for this other family? Well, if he's going to be doing these things to this other family, who's going to be doing it for us? Who's going to provide for our own family if the father and the man of the house is out providing for another family? That's not how it works. So you can have empathy for others, but you certainly shouldn't be putting other groups' interests ahead of the interests of your own. That's not the way that the world works. That's not the way anything works in nature. You don't get the gazelles putting the crocodiles' interests first and just willingly giving themselves to the crocodiles to be eaten. The gazelles look out for the gazelles and the crocodiles look out for the crocodiles. This privilege, this white privilege, arises because they are much less likely to be affected by racist behaviour, including bias, discrimination, and verbal and physical abuse. Well, let's just have a look at that. Are white people the victims of bias? Well, of course they are. They're the victims of bias here. They're being told they have white privilege. They're being told that everything they have is unearned, unearned privilege, rather than what they have. They only have because their ancestors scrimped and saved. It certainly wasn't unearned. You can't say it's unearned when we used to have children going up chimneys to sweep out the chimneys. We had children running between the cotton machines and the weaving machines in the industrial age in the factories, losing their arms and losing their legs in the workhouses. You can't say that this is unearned. We had to go through a lot of hardship to create the world that we have today. And our establishment is now handing that world over to these other ethnic groups. And in order to prevent our own ethnic group saying, well, hang on a minute, this is wrong, they're indoctrinating us to feel guilt for having the things that we have. So we are the victims of bias. We're the victims of discrimination. When you see the police saying that they want ethnic minorities, when you hear of the RAF, again, only wanting ethnic minorities, white people need not apply. And they're able to do this because they say, oh, we're trying to rectify these disparities where we don't have many black people working in this role. So therefore, we are allowed to discriminate against white people. You don't get any discrimination against black people in jobs. If you don't have the qualifications, you shouldn't be doing the job. And what we're being told now is, well, if you're white and you have the qualifications and there's somebody black who doesn't have the qualifications, they're the black person should get the job because we have these disparate numbers. We don't have enough black people working in that area. So white people are being discriminated against. Are we being the victims of verbal and physical abuse? Well, we're certainly being the victims of verbal and physical abuse. And whenever this physical abuse arises, whether it be the grooming gangs and ethnic minorities grooming and raping predominantly white victims, or whether it's individual cases of white men being called racial slurs before being physically attacked, none of those cases are ever prosecuted as being racially aggravated. None of them are. So that we have discrimination at the state level. What about verbal abuse here? Well, if you speak up for white people, you're going to be called a white supremacist. If you were to call anybody else a black so-and-so, that would be considered a racial slur, and you could be jailed for it. But it seems perfectly acceptable to call white people white supremacist, which is effectively a racial slur. So these children are being taught that they are less likely to be affected by what they describe here as racist behaviour, when in actual fact they're more likely to be affected by this than any other people group. What about the statistics which tell us that the white working class lads are the most underrepresented cohort at university? They're the ones that get the least help and they're right at the bottom of the pile. It never might even might even though they have an average IQ of 100. So they're going to be more likely to be able to succeed if you put the effort into training them. But we don't put the effort into training them. Instead, we put them through programs like this, telling them that they're racists and that they have white privilege. Privileged people have a responsibility to reduce racism by being aware of it, improving their own language and behavior, challenging their friends' language and behavior, reporting incidents of racism, providing to support to those who have been harmed by discrimination. So what that boils down to effectively is the words that you use, so-called racial slurs. It's saying, don't abbreviate the word Pakistani, for instance. If you do that, or you hear somebody doing that, you should challenge their language, and maybe you should report them to a teacher for abbreviating a word, as if that can cause any damage in and of itself. And then by providing support to those who have been harmed by discrimination. And of course, what they mean by that is everybody who isn't white has been harmed by discrimination. So it's telling these children that they, by providing support to them, they need to hand these things over to these black people. They need to say, oh, I don't want the job. You have the job. There aren't enough black people in this position. And you must have been harmed by discrimination by the very fact that your skin is a different colour to mine. I mean, it's absolute nonsense what they're teaching these children. The teaching materials also tell older students that while black people can hold prejudice against white people, this does not amount to racism. See, before we were always told that racism is discriminating against somebody because of what colour they are, but no, that's not the same thing now. It's only white people that can be racist, because apparently only white people have the power behind them to be racist. Well, the whole state is anti-white now. The whole state is anti-racist, which effectively means anti-white. You have the whole establishment preventing white people from being able to express themselves in their own language, preventing white people from only wanting to associate with their own ethnic group. You know, the establishment and the state prevents that. The state itself has institutionalized racism against white people. And yet we've been told that that's not racist. According to the guidance, racism can only be exercised by those with cultural power, such as white people over black people. So there you go. Racists can only be white. Is that not discriminatory to say that only white people can be racist? The program is intended to empower students. How is that going to empower a white student to be told that everything that they have is just privilege? It's just because of their skin colour. It isn't because their ancestors worked hard and provided this for them. It's simply because their skin colour is white and that they've oppressed all these other groups in society. That's not empowering them. When they say providing empathy, what they mean is they will indoctrinate these students with slavery and saying white people enslaved black people, and that's why black people don't have the same life outcomes as white people have. And that's what they'll describe as building empathy. They won't tell them that slavery used to be the employment system of the ancient world. White people used to be slaves just as much as black people were. And you have to find some way of surviving. You have to find some way of putting a roof over your head and clothes on your back and food in your belly. And the easiest way to do that in the past was to go and work for somebody, and which was effectively being a slave. You weren't given cash payments at the end of the week so that you could go and spend it at the shops. They didn't have shops in a high street. Everything was provided for by the slave owner. They would provide the food, they would provide the clothing, they would provide the housing, they would provide a plot of land. I mean, people who work now can't even afford their own house. And people are having to stay at home with their parents. If you look at things from that viewpoint, life was better with slavery. And of course, it was seen as a Christian institution, slavery, because it meant that it was providing work and welfare for people that weren't able to provide for themselves. The program is intended to empower students and teachers to examine how race education can challenge the unequal systems that surround us in society. And this completely ignores the conservatives' study that they looked into to see if there was any evidence of institutional racism, and the result of the study was that there was no institutional racism at all. There might be individual racism, there might be individual racists, but the system in itself is not racist, and the system in itself prosecutes people for being racist. So how can this school be teaching the opposite of that? Well, the schools are completely politicised now, aren't they? Again, we talked about this the other day. Another handout for older teenagers urges students to think critically about the role of race in Britain's criminal justice system, citing that black people are 10 times more likely to be stopped and searched by police. And they don't also say, yes, well, black people in London are 10 times more likely to have offensive weapons on them. They don't explain that young black people are 10 times more likely to be in youth offender institutions, or that older black people are 5 times more likely to be in prison for a violent offence, up to and including murder. And these statistics are the same in every multicultural country. If you go to America, it's something like black people make up 13% of the population, 56% of all the murders. So this is the reason why black people are more likely to be stopped and searched by the police, is because the police are more likely to have a suspicion about them, because statistics and experience tell them that black people are more likely to be breaking the law, effectively. It's the same as when you look at men and women. Men are more likely to be criminals than women are, something like 10 times more likely to be criminals than women are, or to break the law. And we don't think that that's discrimination at all. We just say, well, men are different to women. And the answer to this is to say, well, black people are different to white people. But they don't actually want you to think critically about the role of race in the criminal justice system, because if you thought critically about it, you would start saying, well, why do we have these people here in the first place? Why did our government import these people into the country? And even if they were unaware of the increased risk of criminality, now that they are aware of the increased risk of criminality, why are we still importing more of them? That's what happens when you genuinely think critically about the role of race in Britain's criminal justice system. David Lammy did a famous report on race in the criminal justice system, and he found that black people were disproportionately more likely to be in prison for violent crimes. And instead of realising that that's because they're more likely to carry out violent crimes, he claimed that it was something to do with racism, and that we had to stop this. And it was because they might have been the victims of racism when they were children, might have caused them to take the wrong path when they were adults and go down a road to criminality. And of course, if they weren't here in the country in the first place, there wouldn't be any racism against them. There wouldn't be any victims. They wouldn't be the victims of racism. And that doesn't explain how in places like Africa, in places like Haiti that we discussed yesterday, look at the horrendous violence that goes on in Haiti. Can they say in Haiti that that was caused by racism? That was caused by white people having all the power against them and being racist? Well, of course it wasn't. Haiti's been black run for over 100 years now. Students are probed. What is happening? Why is this an example of racism? If race isn't real, how do you explain this? Of course, they don't want you to see race as being real, as in there are actual differences between people groups. They want you to think, oh, race is real just when you think about racism. Racism exists, but race doesn't, is effectively what they're telling these children. So they've got two contradictory things that they're being told at the same time, which causes cognitive dissonance and confusion and psychosis. I mean, it's no wonder that we have so many children that now require antidepressants, because they're being taught stuff like this. Has the concept of race led some people to believe that some groups of people are different to others? I mean, that reminds me of the same sort of insanity as, is it people hearing about the problems in Gaza which causes them to be anti-Israel, or is it them actually seeing the violence which causes them to be anti-Israel? And our current way of thinking is to say, oh no, it's people discussing it that causes the problem. And what they're saying here is, has the concept of race led some people to believe that some groups of people are different to others? So it's only because we have this concept of race that we think black people are different to white. Nothing to do with all the statistics which show us averages. Nothing to do with the fact that our eyes are not lying to us. When we look at somebody from another race, we can see on average, they're a different size. They have different proportions. They have different shaped faces. In instances with black people, they might have 2 to 4 extra teeth than white people have. We're very, very different. We have different bone structure, different leg structure, different proportions. Physically, the races are very different. And those differences correlate with statistics on average, such as IQ, criminality, being good at running, for instance. I mean, it's not like black people aren't very good at things. They are very good at certain things, such as running and jumping and basketball and these sporting things that they're good at, that they excel in. It's just that they don't also excel in building civilization. And it's not because we have a concept of race that causes people to see one group of people as different to another. It's our experience tells us that. And the statistics tell us that. The science tells us that. Are certain racial groups being treated differently? Are there other possible explanations for this? And of course, if you say, well, yes, there are other explanations for this, there's explanations for the criminality, is that, you know, they might have a lower IQ and they just might be more likely to carry out crime. Of course, then you'd be accused of being racist and you might get reported to prevent. If you actually provide any other possible explanations for this. I mean, what they mean is there are no other possible explanations for this. All of these things can only be possibly be taking place because white people are being horrible and racist to the black people. That's what they're trying to tell these children. The Teaching School Alliance behind the materials is led by Notre Dame High School, a government-designated national teaching school tasked with supporting educators and school leaders. So despite the government doing a report and saying there's no such thing as institutional racism, the government are also designating and funding this organisation to preach to children about white guilt and telling them that they have white privilege. Defending the resources, the group said our standalone unit by no means does the job of interrupting systemic racism, but we believe it provides an exciting, impactful first step for schools with strong social justice values. Well, they're trying to interrupt something that the government have told us doesn't exist, aren't they, by trying to interrupt so-called systemic racism, which doesn't actually exist. And should the school have strong social justice values? Social justice warriors are explicitly left-wing political view. So they're admitting that they're indoctrinating the children with left-wing political views. The initiative has sparked fierce criticism from conservatives who have accused schools of stoking divisions and enforcing a political agenda on pupils. Yes, but the schools were doing the same thing when it was under the Conservatives, weren't they? It doesn't matter if it's Conservatives or Labour. They still are going to politicise the children into being left-wing. They even have gone anti-fascist training at these schools, don't they? I can recall we had a podcast a couple of weeks back about the Britain's largest teaching union saying that the teachers needed to have anti-fascist training. That's explicitly left-wing. Shadow Education Secretary Laura Trott said, "It is deeply alarming that children as young as 7 are being exposed to divisive identity politics in schools under the banner of anti-racism education." Well, I'm hoping that these children, if they are being told this, that they can tell that there's something wrong with it. The same way as these children could tell that there was something wrong with the gender education when it was telling them that little boys could also be little girls, and that Tommy's friend was a little boy yesterday and he's a little girl today. And I think they knew that this wasn't right. They knew that they were being told falsehoods here. And I think that they will understand the same when they're being told that they have everything that they have simply because of their skin colour, which is clearly a falsehood. She added, "These materials teach children that black prejudice against white people cannot be described as racism, present contested concepts like white privilege as unquestionable fact, and encourage pupils to see themselves primarily through the lens of race." And I think the one that they're most likely to pick up on there is black people can't actually be racist, because if these white children end up seeing black people being favoured rather than them, that's going to get, that they're going to be upset at that, because children have a very strong sense of fairness, and whether things are fair or unfair, that's the most important thing to a child, is whether something is seen to be fair or not. And if they see that black children are being preferred to white children, that will upset them. It's interesting, this term itself, fair, isn't it? It's related to fair skin. It's also related to treating people honourably. It is hugely damaging and exactly the kind of left-wing ideological nonsense that should be nowhere near our classrooms, she also said. Shadow Minister Neil O'Brien also vowed the Conservatives would crack down on such teaching if returned to power. Well, I don't believe that, because while the Conservatives were in office, we had all this Black Lives Matter nonsense going on and being promoted. And we had all these footballers taking the knee at football matches. That was under the Conservatives. And we had all of this teaching about white privilege and white guilt. There were documentary programs on it on the television where they were literally bringing white children to tears in one room, telling them about how awful, horrible and wicked their ancestors were. And then in the room with the black children in it, they were all giving them chocolate biscuits and getting them to sing happy songs and telling them that they were used, their ancestors were enslaved by white people. So they were doing this. Whether it's Conservatives or Labour, is part of the modern world that does this. Our whole ideology is anti-white. It's not a specifically political issue. But of course, this is GB News that are reporting this, and they like to blame the Labour Party for all of these things. But it's both Labour and Conservatives. I mean, they're a false dichotomy, really, the right and the left. Really, you want somebody to represent you that represents your ethnic group, because then they truly represent you. And whether that policy is going to be left-wing or right-wing, it needs to be decided on, is this good for my ethnic group? And you want somebody that says that. But anybody that says, I'm going to stand on a platform of doing what is right for my ethnic group, if they're white, they'll be accused of being racist, won't they? And white supremacist. And they'll be the victim of all of this racism, which supposedly white people can't be the victims of. So as I say, I think children will realise that this is unfair right from the very beginning. I think there is a chance that they will understand that this is false, and it will help push them towards becoming nationalists when they're older. And we do see signs of that. We see signs of the younger generation moving further to the right than any other generation has before. Neil O'Brien said, Kemi Badenoch and the Conservatives are going to come down like a ton of bricks on this kind of political indoctrination in our schools. We will start enforcing the law and rooting out this kind of thing. Well, we'll have to wait and see, won't we? I mean, you can actually say, well, Kemi Badenoch was quite good when she was Minister for Schools. She said that no teachers should be changing the gender of their children. They should be referring to the children by the gender that is on their birth certificate. And I can remember when she did that, because I thought that was good. She gave some good advice there. And she seems to be doing quite well leading the Conservatives. I mean, some of the things she says are quite good. Doesn't change the fact that she's actually from a completely different ethnic group, though. So it's a little bit ridiculous, her supposedly representing all ethnic groups in Britain, when clearly her loyalties are going to be to her own ethnic group, and they should be to her own ethnic group. But she won't be criticised for that, in the same way that David Lammy is not criticised for doing what's best for his ethnic group. It's only if you're a white person that you will be criticised for trying to do what's best for your ethnic group. It's only if you're white you'll be told all your efforts and devotion should be to helping out another ethnic group rather than your own. As I say, I think people are waking up to this now. They certainly are. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a political party like Restore doing so well. Anyway, thank you very much for listening. I will be back tomorrow with Dr. Matthew Raphael Johnson. God bless and hail victory.